I'm presenting this on behalf of Nikhil Katke, who's the lead author. He couldn't be here. So the work is on transparent system call-based performance debugging in cloud computing systems. And we all know that automated problem diagnosis is a hard problem. And this is because there are complex system interactions, mainly because of concurrency or the distributed nature of a system, which can obscure the root cause of a problem. In addition, distributed systems tend to be really large, and so you have a large volume of monitoring data. So sometimes figuring out where the problem is like finding a needle in a haystack. And we also are dealing with production systems where we may not have the luxury to modify instrumentation sources. So this work is our initial exploration in using system calls as a transparent instrumentation source for debugging performance problems in distributed systems. So there are lots and lots of tools available for performance debugging in distributed systems, and I've categorized them into two main types. So we have end-to-end tracing tools where you look at the flow of requests across the system and you try and find which requests are anomalous. And you have instrumentation frameworks that are specifically geared towards generating these end-to-end traces. Or you could use black box approaches where you monitor traffic across nodes. Or you could analyze production logs and try to figure out how different requests are flowing across the system. The other type of monitoring information available is analysis of performance logs and event logs. And you can look at things like OS level events, such as hardware, cache misses and OS scheduling events. Or you could generate problem signatures, and or you could do alarm correlation. So lots of different approaches have been done in instrumentation. And the reason why we chose to look at system calls as an instrumentation source is we found that it captures the interaction between application level behavior and OS level behavior. And it is a rich source of information because you get both statistical information, for instance, how often a particular system call occurred, disk and network transfer times, and you also get semantic information about the application, so which file was called, were there any errors that were generated. And we find that system calls can have a higher reliability than application logs because, as the first speaker today said, application logs can become stale over time, and the quality of your application log depends on the application developer. So we used system calls to try and work around that. System calls are also transparent, so you don't need to modify the application source code in order to use them, and you have no dependence on a hardware architecture. So the main goals and assumptions behind our work are, first, we would like to learn what normal behavior looks like using system calls. And then second, we want to localize the problematic node and the type of a problem. So was it a disk problem or a network-related problem? And the assumption we use is mainly geared towards parallel computing systems, where we assume that the majority of the nodes in the system exhibit fault-free behavior, and that workloads are relatively well-balanced across the nodes. We also assume that the hardware configurations are similar. They may not be identical, but we would like them to be similar. And clocks are synchronized across the system. And for our initial exploration, we looked at diagnosis of resource contention in MapReduce systems. So we looked at Hadoop, which is an open source implementation of Google's MapReduce. And performance debugging in Hadoop is difficult because you have long-running jobs that can vary between order of minutes to even days. And so it's sometimes hard to label what a performance problem is when you might not know how long the job is expected to take. These systems also tend to be large, and so it's difficult to isolate the fault. And if you're using a leased cloud infrastructure, then slowdowns are costly. So in MapReduce systems, if you're not familiar with them, they tend to rely on two main abstractions. You have maps, where you have a large job that is decomposed into smaller partitions that are worked on by individual map tasks, and then reducers, which fetch, merge, and sort the output of the map tasks. So our approach generally proceeds in two steps. In the first step, we instrument the system and collect system calls on a per-node basis. And in the second step, we try to identify nodes whose behavior significantly differs from their peers. And we looked at two different peer comparison approaches, which I will explain in greater detail. So for instrumentation, we rely on S-Trace, which is a Unix utility for capturing system calls invoked by a program. And we record different aspects of the system call. We look at the average and total time spent in each system call. We look at the numbers of total system calls versus failed system calls, the percentage of time that we spend in each of these system calls, and we also look at verbose traces of system calls where we can get details about what calls have failed or what arguments they accessed, they used. So the types of system calls we limited our analysis to are network-related system calls, such as accept, connect, bind, and socket. And these are system calls that are invoked whenever you're creating sockets within a system. And file-related system calls, such as access and stat, where you're looking at metadata and looking at permissions for accessing files. And we also looked at process-related system calls, such as execve when you're spawning a new process. So we didn't look at system calls such as send and receive, because we found in our initial analysis that there was a lot of variance depending on how much data was read and written in that particular call. And so we omitted them from our analysis. And since this is just a proof of concept, we had a very naive implementation and the overheads were really high. So about 1.5 times, because we're just logging S-trace direct to disk. But I'm sure we're looking at smarter ways of doing this. So the overall diagnostic approach is a three-step process. So one, we try and learn the per-node profiles of node behavior. So for each type of system call, so let's say execve or stat for each node, we count the number of times it was invoked and use that to build a histogram for a given node. And then in the next step, we try and find out whether a node is behaving anomalously. And we do this in two stages. The first is a local alarming process where we try and account for any normal variance that might occur between nodes. We notice that even in homogeneous systems, you find that even without a fault being present, the performance of a particular node might be different from another, maybe due to variances in disk performance or memory across the system. And so we use local thresholds based on the minimum and maximum counts of calls in a particular bin to figure out whether we should alarm locally for a given node. And then we also have global alarms where we try and figure out whether the performance of a given node is very different from that of its peers. So if it's significantly different from its peers, we flag it as faulty. We then apply heuristics to figure out whether it is a network or a disk-related problem. So our diagnosis approaches that we tried vary based on the instrumentation source that we use, the type of system call that we use. So we have our first approach, which we call the statistical diagnosis approach, where we're looking at histograms of invocations of system calls in a particular time window. So this is a snippet of code that you would get from S-Trace, where you have the percentage of time spent, how many seconds you spent in a particular call, how many microseconds for that call, the number of calls, and whether there were any errors. So we'd build histograms based on the call counts and the number of errors, and build these across each node for each time window. And then for the semantic diagnosis approach, instead of looking at just broad system calls like execve or stat, we use system calls, unique system calls invocations, where we include the system call, the argument, so which file it accessed, and the error code, the return code, so was it successful or failed. So this gives us a little bit more semantic information about the application. And for both of these instrumentation sources, we rely on peer comparison to find out whether there's a node or a set of nodes that's behaving significantly differently from its peers. So for our experimental setup, we used a small cluster with 5 identical machines. So a single master node and 4 slaves. And we ran Hadoop workloads such as word count and sort. And we looked at disk hogs and packet loss. So try and run a disk intensive process on a node or try and drop packets at a particular node. And the reason why we chose these two faults is because we noticed in our production cluster that over 90% of infrastructural related problems were either due to disk or faulty disks or bad network interface cards. So in terms of results, we considered it a true positive if we identified both the faulty node and the type of problem. So if we identified whether it was a network problem versus a disk problem, we considered that a true positive. And for false positives, we flagged something as a false positive if we either incorrectly identified the node or attributed the wrong root cause. And for each problem, we would output the set of nodes that we believe to be anomalous. And that's what we call our output node set. So I'll present results for the two types of problems that we looked at. The first was a disk hog, where we were running a disk intensive process on an arbitrary node. And we determined that the signature for disk hog was that it would spend more time in the stat system call, where it's looking for metadata about a particular file, and it would spend less time in execve. That means it spends less time spawning new processes. And we found that when we use a statistical approach where we were looking at just counts of calls for each system call, such as execve or stat, we got a high true positive rate of 88%. And an okay-ish, let's say, a false positive rate of 13%. It's a little bit high, but we would like that to be lower. And then for the semantic approach, where we were looking at system calls that had arguments and return codes, we had more variance in the data, and therefore our true positive rate was lower. So we had true positive rates of 63% to 69%. So we found that looking at more broad profiles of system calls gets us better results. So for the packet loss, these are results for 50% packet loss. And we observed a similar trend, so the statistical approach works better than the semantic approach. And we had less success detecting the packet loss failures, because they tend to manifest as propagating failures. So if you're familiar with Hadoop, there's a shuffle phase where you're reading data from the maps to the reducers. And so when you do have packet loss, it's affecting not only the node that's hosting the data, but also the nodes that are receiving the data. And so our current approach doesn't work that well with propagating faults. So in terms of lessons learned, we found that our statistical approach was more effective than the semantic approach at just detecting problems. And we also observed that our diagnostic accuracy was independent of the particular workload. We tried two workloads, word count and sort. And we also looked at results when we have speculative execution on, which is when Hadoop tries to compensate for slow nodes by spawning multiple copies of a particular task. And we found that introduces a bit of variance, which makes our diagnostic accuracy slightly lower. And then for performance problems, as I mentioned earlier, disk-related problems were easier to detect than the network-related problems, mostly due to the correlated manifestation for network-related problems. So for future work, we're trying to figure out how to cope with heterogeneous systems, because we used a very simplifying assumption for our initial exploration that all nodes are identical and workload is evenly balanced. And so we're trying to figure out whether to normalize behavior across peers or just limit our peer comparison to the nearest neighbors. And so that way you could automatically identify groups of peers. So we're experimenting between those two different approaches. And we're also trying to figure out how to reduce the overhead of our instrumentation, which is pretty high at the moment. And lastly, we want to determine how to distinguish between application level problems, which for instance, a hang in a particular Hadoop application, and infrastructural level problems, which are the disk related problems and the network related problems that we looked at. And if you have any questions or comments, I'd be very happy to hear them. Thank you.
So it seems like your statistical approach is better at detecting anomalies and your semantic approach is better at not making mistakes. Have you tried combining the two?
No, we haven't yet tried combining the two, but that's a good idea.
So in some of your cases, you could detect it based on system call because you are doing reads and writes to disk and network.
Mm-hmm.
But in some other cases, if you have, let's say, memory pressure, and mm-hmm. now there is swapping going on,
mm-hmm.
which may not show up in the system call that you are executing,
mm-hmm.
then how would you deal with those performance problems?
I think mainly just increase the scope of the system calls we are looking at. So also include memory-related system calls in that particular case. So right now, we just limited our scope to just disk and file. And we know process, file, and I think disk. I hope I got them right. Yeah, and network. Uh-huh. So,
If there is swapping going on, you might already have done all the mallocs and everything
mm-hmm.
that you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now there is background swapping, which won't show up in a system call.
Okay. I think in that case, we might, maybe system calls might not capture everything in that case. But we haven't looked at it. We haven't looked at it. So that's an interesting thing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, thanks for that presentation. So uh-huh. I'm wondering, I'm concerned about the negatives.
Yes.
The false negatives, essentially,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe that 12% of the opposite side of your rock curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that tend to, if you will, fester
mm-hmm.
and create cascading failures.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how do you, you know, how do you trim down this? I would suggest that, you know, instead of looking at this in sort of a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
right, that you take into account other ways of adding information,
okay,
right, to your assessment of, okay, whether you're having a real performance problem or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that, you know, sort of build up, and if you're missing these, then you're likely to sort of fall off a cliff at a certain point.
Okay.
And that's much harder to come back from.
Yeah.
Than identifying these, you know, a few performance problems early on and then fixing them. So.
Yeah. So looking at other sources other than system calls.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Uh huh. Yeah, and I think some of the false negatives are also due to the high variance. So you have, depending on where you set your thresholds.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a lot of variance, you might tend to set higher and higher thresholds, and then you tend to miss a lot more things. And
right.
So we do believe that accounting for some of the variance that occurs naturally, so some tasks are reading more data than others, or some nodes are, maybe the hardware configuration was slightly different than others, that would help reduce it. But then, as you said, you know, looking at different instrumentation sources would be good. Might also help with the swapping problem mentioned earlier.
Well, also your threshold, you know, if you dynamically adjust your thresholds,
yes,
according to some metric, some distance,
uh-huh,
you may also be able to sort of factor out some of the variance that way.
Yes, yes.
Let me ask the other dimension, I mean,
okay,
kind of where the field is limited.
Uh-huh.
You kind of pointed towards heterogeneity.
Yeah.
Because right now, in fact, Ira was the same thing, where,
yes,
you have to assume that everybody is the same for the very practical reason of you need a big enough data set.
Yeah.
So having all these replicas running together, you have, you know, a lot more data to mine.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you, in fact, it's probably a question for Ira as well, deal with heterogeneity in general when you have, for one thing, heterogeneous nodes. Some are, you know, starting to go bad in various ways, and
mm-hmm,
also, yeah, just different VMs, different VMs running in the same node, which may be interfering with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so interference is a harder problem.
That's why I included it. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So things like just different hardware. We have two ideas in mind. So one is just normalize, like using a regression to say, let's say this machine is 2 times faster than this one, and just factoring out that and making
but
it a little more.
But that's workload dependent too, so it's,
yeah,
not,
yeah,
how would you even compute that multiplier?
Uh-huh. So we're possibly looking at regressions to compute that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing would be to do a nearest neighbor. So instead of, it has the effect of limiting your data size, so just search for machines that are most similar to you. Instead of looking at the entire set, you search for things that are most similar to you, and in that way reduce some of the variance. Interference, I haven't really thought about how to deal with that, but it's a good question.
Yeah. And Ira, do you have any ideas in that direction? Well, you probably come up to the mic too, if you do.
Well, the idea is to use cloud.
All right, that makes sense. All right, thanks. Did anybody else have questions? All right, in that case, let's thanks, Olya, and.